Good morning. Good to see you folks again. How long has it been?
Too long.
I always like coming here. I always feel better when I'm here. We're in a church in Frisco, St. Philip's Episcopal Church. It's a good bit bigger than St. Michael's, and so we don't know a whole lot of people yet. And so when I walk in there, and they kind of look at you, sort of like, oh, it's you. Reminds me of when our kids were teenagers, and I would walk in from a long day at work and walk into the living room, and they would look up and say, oh, it's you. But I always feel different when I'm here. And so I thank you for your friendship over the years. And for those of you who I haven't met, who are somewhat new to St. Michael's, hope to meet you here before we leave today. I bring you greetings from Sarah. She is, when last I saw her, she was unconscious, but she is studying for a test tomorrow. She's taking a class in the Montessori world of raising kids or educating kids, and so she's having her test tomorrow, and she's been studying. I haven't seen her actually for some days now. But she sends her greetings, and Liam sends his greetings as well. The two-year and two-month-old grandson that took us away from St. Michael's in Longview. He's prospering, growing well, and is healthy and happy and a joy to be around. He's becoming rather directive now. He's always made his wishes known, but now they're taking on words actually you can understand, sort of. And about a month ago, I was with his parents, and we took him to this amusement, little old-fashioned amusement park in Dallas, merry-go-rounds, that sort of thing. And they were having a band concert, actually a contest that day. Some public school bands were in the amusement park, and they were playing their music and vying for trophies. So we sat and listened to them for a while, and he was sitting next to me, or I was actually sitting next to him, and I was trying to get in with the music and kind of moving my feet and moving my arms around a little bit with the music, and he reached over, and he looked at me, and he reached over and patted me on the knee. And, be still, be still. So what are you going to do? I be still. So he's certainly got a mind of his own, and a joy to be around. And the occasion for today's sermon, actually, I was looking over my notes and things at my desk, and he walked into the room and stood next to me, and while I was concentrating on today's sermon a little bit, I wasn't paying attention to him. And he stood next to me for about 5 seconds and then opened the drawer of the desk and began to pull out all sorts of pointy objects like scissors and things like that. And I looked down and there were dangerous things in his hands. And so, you know, took them back and put them in the drawer, closed the drawer, went back to looking at the notes, and the drawer opened again. Stuff began to come out again, and my distractions were his opportunity for, well, we call it mischief, I suppose. He's just exploring things. And today's epistle that we read in Galatians, the first chapter, is a bit along that line, and I want to kind of take your attention to that this morning about how we tend as Christians to lose our concentration and move off on other things from time to time. I'm reminded of that animated movie, the movie Up. You know the movie Up? It's Doug the dog is, I think, the best character in that movie. Doug the dog, some cross between a Labrador and a retriever, I think, somewhere in there. And a golden retriever, and he's a very loyal, courageous dog, but he has this problem that that all dogs seem to have, and that is he loses concentration when a certain word is spoken. And whatever he's supposed to be doing, if somebody says squirrel, then he's off on something else. And the first chapter of the book of Galatians, a little bit along that line, when Paul is talking about what we have in Christ, what we have in the gospel of Christ, and our tendency to get distracted every time we hear the word squirrel, we're off away from that gospel. So I want to draw your attention to the first chapter of the book of Galatians. As this book opens, Paul is reminding us, perhaps even reminding himself, of what his calling is. He is a man on a mission. He sees himself as a person who is sent by God with a message from God. In the first couple of verses of this book, he says, Paul, an apostle, which you remember apostle means, he's the sent one. He's the guy who's sent with the message. Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. That's his sense of where he belonged in the world, that he was sent by God to do something for God. And so he reminds us at the very beginning of this book what his calling is. He is sent by God. And this is the message he's sent to proclaim. This is the gospel of Jesus. Verse 3 says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age. To set us free from the present evil age. According to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. So a man who's on a mission from God, and he's sent with a message from God, a simple message that Jesus in his death paid a price for what kept us away from God so that we could live for him in this world. That's the message. The squirrel problem in this passage comes next. The distraction, the thing that takes us away from that very simple gospel message that Christ died for our sins so that we could know and live with God. And so he says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Now, it's not just a problem for the guys that he's writing to back in ancient Galatia. It's a problem. It's the human problem that maybe we have too many brain cells. Maybe our brain is too big, and we get bored easily, and we're constantly looking at other things. We're like little Liam. We're just interested in all that's around us and all the possibilities. And among those possibilities are things that take us away from God. Maybe that's our problem. Maybe it's just because of who we are. It's our nature. It's in our nature to be distracted from that which God has provided for us in Christ. Whatever the reason, he says, that seems to have been happening to you. You seem to have gotten distracted. And so he says that he's astonished that they're so quickly deserting for a different gospel. And then he says, not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. The basic perversion of the gospel of Christ that every generation has to face, every individual Christian has to face in life, is the question, where does my salvation come from, and what does it depend on, and how do I get from here to God? And there are basically two answers that Paul offers us. One is, you can do it yourself, or you can try to do it yourself. You can try to figure it out for yourself, or you can accept what God has offered us in Christ. Those are basically the two ways. One, he describes later in the book of Galatians as the law. It's keeping the rules. It's deciding on a list of rules of do's and don'ts, limiting the range of possibilities. And if you do these things and you don't do those other things, then everything's okay. It's the movie version of salvation, of heaven. It's the idea that at the end of life, God holds the scales. Actually, it's St. Michael that holds the scales in Christian art. He holds the scales at the judgment, and he puts our life in that side of the scale, all the good things that we have done on that side of the scale, and on the other side of the scale, he puts all the bad things that we've done. And then he waits to see which way the needle goes. And if we've done more good things than bad things, then we're in. And if we've done more bad things than good things, then, well, we go the other way. And that's the basic human. That's what makes sense to most of us most of the time. It's a basic sense of justice. Why would God punish us if we've done a lot of good things? If we've done more good things than bad things, why? What's the problem there then? What that overlooks in Paul's teaching is how bad off we were to start with, how heavy our sin is, and how unlikely it is in God's estimation that we can do anything in life to balance it out. And that's why we need a Savior. That's what the cross is about. That's what the resurrection is about. It is about doing for us, God in His Son doing for us what we could not do for ourselves, and that was balance the beam. Left to ourselves, it'll always be this way. And it's Christ in His gospel of grace and peace, of forgiveness, that balances the scales of justice at the judgment. And so He does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. That's why He is so adamant in chapter 1 of Galatians. That's why He's so upset with the people that He's writing to. I gave you grace and peace in Christ. Why did you let go of it? Why did you get distracted and start depending on what you can offer God and a set of rules that you can keep to satisfy yourself that all is well? All tied up with this is their relationship to Him. He says, am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. And that brings us to today's reading. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin. Now, I've known a handful of people in my life who talked to God. Now, I'm not talking about praying. I'm talking about people who not only talk to God, but they hear God. Now, I met some of them in this church. Some of them give me the heebie-jeebies, I got to tell you. But some of them, by the quality of their lives and the authenticity of the way they have lived their lives for God, I got to say, you know, I think probably God talked to them just like they said. What does He say to them? When we get into that kind of beyond the answer to prayer, to God talking or revealing Himself to us in a personal way, we're moving from what most of us know most of the time as our understanding of God, and we're moving toward that personal relationship, what used to be called mystical understanding of God, where God is communicating with us directly, not through someone else or through Scripture even, but directly from Him. Now, that's always caused the leaders of the church a bit of difficulty. And as you think about it, you go back to the Middle Ages particularly, there are a couple of mystics back in the Middle Ages that are in our church, in the Anglican tradition, that claim to have a word directly from God, a revelation from God, just for their lives. Marjorie of Kemp and Julian of Norwich, two people worth your reading. dramatic experiences of God, often dealing with illness as the beginning point that catches their attention that they need a message from God, that they are almost on death's, they're at death's door, and if God doesn't speak, if God doesn't break through to them, then all is lost. And in their stories, God breaks through to them and reveals to them something that all of us yearn to hear and to know personally in a way that that convicts us in our deepest spirit, that convinces us that God loves us personally. And that's the conviction that these women came to in their mystical experience of God, that God loved them. That was a very important message back in medieval England. Would you like to live back then, especially if you're a woman, would you have liked to live in medieval England? I'm not going there. It would be bad enough to be a man in medieval England. But women had very few liberties and opportunities. And the message of the church at the time was very judgment-oriented. You look at the art and the churches of the medieval world, so much of it was judgment, hellfire. It was a way of confronting people with reality of what the future held, and also kept them in check so that they behaved themselves here and now. Very political messages. But the mystics looked for something directly from God, and the conviction they came away with was, God loves me. Now that's a good message to come away with directly from God, that God loves me. And that changes, it changed their lives, it can change our lives. And it's that kind of direct experience of God that Paul claims to have had. And so he says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin. I didn't make this stuff up, basically, he says. For I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ, directly from God to Paul. Nobody in between. And he tells us in the rest of the reading we have for today, he says, I didn't even talk to the other apostles for a period of months. I never even met those guys. And eventually he goes and meets Peter and James, the Lord's brother. He said, those are the only ones I met. And so he didn't get it from those guys. He got it straight from God. Now, if you get something straight from God, and you really down deep believe that God has given this to you, that's got to change your outlook. It's got to change your life. And if you hang on to it the way Paul hung on to it, it's got to control the path that you're going to walk in life. It's going to control the way you look at life. Now, most of us, most of the time, we get our messages about God indirectly. Now, we like to talk about prayer and so forth. But what brought you to Christ, that's what the church is partly about, is to bring that message, the message of what the apostles taught, and we teach it, and we listen to it, and then we embrace it as our own. And so we make it our own, and we study it, and we are earnest about it, and so it becomes our own. But we got it from somebody who got it from somebody else. Paul says he got his directly from God. Now, the church has always been a little bit skittish about people who claim to have had a word from God. It's only been in latter days, in modern times, really, that whole groups of Christians claim to have had a word from God, our Pentecostal brothers and sisters, our holiness brothers and sisters. They're very comfortable with the idea of getting things directly from God. A lot of Anglicans, a lot of Episcopalians are comfortable with getting things directly from God as well. But most of us, most of the time, we get it from somebody who got it from somebody else. And that's the message that Paul has for us here. It's basically both ways. Is it possible for God to break through and give us a message that convinces us of his love, that changes our life forever? Yes, it is. He still does that. It is a relationship thing. But so much of what we get in Christ that is valuable, we get from the teaching of Scripture, from people who got it directly from God. Squirrel. Now, see, you've lost it all again. Don't get distracted. Look to God. Look to his apostles' teaching. Get a word directly from God. Be convinced of his love for you. Amen.